going to call to order. Am I or you? I am. I'm going to call to order the Wastewater Committee meeting. I feel like I've done this before. Regular meeting of the Wastewater Committee for the Town of Discovery Bay. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call to take it. Let the record show all members are present.
Although I don't see any, I'm going to go ahead and give this an opportunity for public comment. There's nobody in the room. Is there anybody online?
There is no one online.
Okay, then I will close public comment, and we will move on to, I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Make a motion to accept
and
the minutes.
And I second, and that's been carried. And updates, is Aaron going to give us any updates?
Yes, he is, whether he wants to or not.
Oh, man.
It didn't have your name there, but it did say updates, and you're the update guy, so.
Yeah, that's me. Afternoon.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Some quick updates. The project out here from WR4 out in the community center on Discovery Boulevard is going along very good. These guys are moving right along. I think right now they started from the north end, they're working south, and they are just right at this, call it the southern driveway. So things are moving there along pretty good.
Just out of curiosity, so that when I drove in, I drove over asphalt, and there's asphalt all the way down the curb line. Do they pull that out every time they work, or is that finished?
No, what they're doing is they're installing after they replace. So they're doing, call it 20-foot sections.
Okay, and then they lay some asphalt. But then they're going to go through and clean that up, though, because it's kind of overlapping.
Yeah, right, there's this cold patch. That's just so you don't have to have trench plates right there and all that.
Perfect.
And open trench.
Good. That's what I assumed, but thank you.
Yep. Have you got many comments or from the public?
I have not.
If not either, because both lanes are open and it's not causing any major delays.
Excellent.
Did they find what we expected them to find? Or do we?
Yes.
I mean, a sagging clay pipe, yeah. I mean, once you kind of block it, you're not really seeing it flow anymore, but you are seeing the liquid that can no longer flow and sit in that belly in that pipe, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're pulling it up and moving it and installing new pipes. So, yeah.
Very good.
So that's moving along good. The village lift station rehabs, they plan on being on site Monday the 7th. I believe I just shut that request. So that's also a video report. They'll be out there mobilizing to start that project. Just yesterday, 2 days ago, we had a pre-con meeting for well 5 destruction. That's moving forward.
We have enough going on, or what?
Seriously.
They seem like a pretty good group. I believe it's NorCal Pumps, and they're eager to get going.
How long is that village lift station project going to last?
The village lift station? Probably, I'd say, 4 weeks.
Okay.
5 weeks, maybe, and then they move on to
the bypass station. Is in place?
No.
They're going to start the bypass, the shutoff request to start the bypass.
Okay.
So that's, and then back to well 5, that's ready to kick off. We're just waiting on PG&E for the service disconnect. Hopefully that's in a timely manner. Update regarding cross connection control policy handbook. For the past 2 weeks, I've been researching that, also in training, and I got some fun information out of that. Breaking it down. So what the state is looking for in that is mainly hazard assessments. They want you to take a look at your entire connection capacity. So all 6,100 connections, find out which ones are your potential hazards, and then do a site survey assessment. So you have to physically visit these sites and write the report for each site and the recommended action to fix a cross connection or potential cross connection if there is one. What we've put together in the past using PVBs, which is basically a pressure vacuum breaker. It's a simplistic testable device, and we were looking at putting it between the homes and the deltas to stop any back siphonage. According to the state, those are only allowed to be used in roadways and median strips, so we cannot use those. Which leaves us to nothing else than the RP, which is a much more complicated type of device in testing, and a little bit more pricey of a device. It also reduces the pressure of your system. So if you were to install it on a system like ours that has 60 PSI and you were to test the pressure on the downside of that backflow device, you're going to lose average in between 13 to 15 PSI. So we are currently figuring out what the next steps are for that. But right now, the state is more interested in us getting a policy together. So this past week, I have been examining what we have as a draft, plus other cities, and also taking bits and pieces and creating our own. I have a few eyes looking at it to give me feedback on it, but going forward, it's gonna be quite the task. Because not only are you gonna do a site hazard assessment of your entire district, but it's ongoing. So you have to put together a plan. Once you finish it, how often are you gonna go back to those sites to reassess?
So it's deep water and Willow Lake?
Anything with a possible cross connection. So they want you to look at all commercials. That includes if you have a swimming pool. That includes if you have a pond. That includes anything on site that may have a potential cross connection if a device is needed. And you take in the assessments, is it high risk, low risk, pollutant, contaminant, and that basically fills out the form of what's required.
Are any of the homes in Lakeshore or lakes actually on the lake?
No, it's a private lake. There's no residential partial
exposure to that. They're in the middle of the project. They're not. There's no backyard. Although these lakes are.
These lakes, the
Willow.
Yes.
Those would trigger a device.
If a property has access to that lake.
Like any of the homes down the north side of Willow Lake Road.
Down Willow Lake Road, yeah,
okay.
Discovery
right.
Boulevard.
So it's not just the delta, it's any water.
Any body of water.
Okay.
So if you look at the golf course itself, the golf course has lakes in there, but that is owned by the golf course. The golf course is a parcel that sits between
There's no exposure to any, there's no way any water can intrude into the system from there. So it's all about spigots and where the spigots are.
Yes, we're plumbing in.
For clarity, the initial ask from the state is to submit a policy.
Yes.
Of what we're going to do. Is that policy supposed to include an idea of how we're going to maintain it also? So so it's not just installing it, it's installing it and maintaining it.
What's your procedure for obtaining it?
And how are you going to fulfill the requirement that we may be giving you that we don't know, that we haven't given you yet?
Correct.
That's why I quit working for the state. thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take it step by step. Let's just start with
yes.
the policy and then let us come back. They can come back to us and tell us what they want us to do next.
Yeah, I'll have ordinance made for the water wastewater committee meeting in May with a draft policy. That way we can make changes and I can bring that back to the June.
And I would lean, if it was me, if I was doing it, if I was in your shoes, I would lean towards keeping it as simple as possible. And if it's too simple, let them come back and tell you
yes.
it's too simple.
Yes.
And then resubmit.
Yes.
Okay.
Fraud.
Good deal.
Sounds good. That's all I
got.
That's
enough.
Thank you.
That's enough on your plate, Aaron.
Yeah.
Hey, what pipe were they? Did we had clay pipe out here before?
Yes.
Did it actually break?
Nothing was broken.
Just sank.
Yes.
Okay.
Just
what
sank.
Are we What are we putting back in?
PVC, C900.
Okay. All right. Now I think Dina, you can introduce our guest.
Sure.
Or I can. John, you want to
come back up?
Go ahead, Dina. You did so well the last time.
Sure. Today we have to present to the Water Wastewater Committee John Burdette. He's the Senior Program Development Manager, Sustainable Industries and Buildings for Veolia North America, and he's going to explain to you phase two of our solar energy project.
All right. Next slide.
Okay.
And you're lucky you don't have to hear my stupid jokes.
I'll repeat it a little bit.
Promise.
So I like to throw this slide up here just to show how our program is endorsed by the state of California, the California Energy Commission, the U.S. Department of Energy, and forcefully by PG&E, CPUC, Mesa, do these types of programs for our center. Next slide, please. So some challenges for local governments: high energy costs, utility grid reliability, resiliency in the event of a power outage, a wildfire, earthquake, climate change. We're dealing, you know, how do we reduce our carbon footprint or greenhouse gas emissions? How do we fund all of these projects? Growing pains, so you have future expansions planned. And how can you keep track of all the rebates, incentives, and grants that are available to help fund these projects? Next. This is a data set showing the PG&E utility costs here in the PG&E area over the last 40 plus years. And you can see on average, the PG&E costs have gone up over 11% annually. And over 25% in the last 2 years. That's why you see that straight up right at the end there on the right of how the prices are literally skyrocketing. Next. So this is the 2022-2023 cost data for your energy bills. And in phase two, we're targeting the development of a solar and battery energy storage system at Wastewater Treatment Plant 1, Wastewater Treatment Plant 2, and then the Newport Water Treatment Plant. You can see that back in this data set, you were spending $760,000 just giving it to PG&E for the use of electrons. We're going to show you how you can install these types of systems and divert that funding that you already have in your budget for PG&E into an investment that will generate electricity on site and reduce your costs. Not only in the first year, but moving forward, so every time PG&E raises their rates, you'll be saving even more. Now, in the Finance Committee, in the last meeting, these prices went up a lot. For example, the Wastewater Treatment Plant 2 here shows $518,000. Last fiscal year, it was $580,000. And the trend continues to go up. Next slide, please. There we go. So these were some of the goals that we established when we started the Phase 1 project. To increase resiliency, such as the community center here, for emergency response, and to keep water and wastewater treatment plants online in the event of a power outage or an emergency. Obviously, to reduce cost, maybe upgrade some old equipment if we can, to reduce pollution that goes into the air, to secure whatever grants, rebates, and incentives that are available, to provide a comfortable and safe environment, kind of like with the HVAC systems here at the community center, and to minimize the financial and technical risk to the district. So our program is start to finish, single source accountability, one throat to choke, and we guarantee the performance of the systems. So if they don't do what we say, then we write you a check for the difference. We also provide comprehensive funding solutions that we'll get into more. And we're also helping get some grants for the EV charging stations for the district. Next, please. So this is our program. And in the phase two development, we had a discovery meeting, we worked with staff, we collected all of your energy data. And today we're kind of presenting the preliminary analysis. Typically after today, we would ask for a development agreement that would have a backup fee in the event you didn't move forward with it. And we had that all ready to go, and it was about $160,000. However, Veolia is offering to do it at no cost to the district due to the time constraints in trying to secure some of these grants that are. Specifically with the federal government,
with the new administration, they're targeting cost savings. And some of these incentives are under fire. So time is of the essence to grab them while we still can. Once we get through today, we'll continue to develop what's called an investment grade audit. And then we'll bring it back to the committees, the staff, and then eventually for board approval. Next slide, please. Here is a Google Earth shot of wastewater treatment plant one, which is currently decommissioned, but it still has a large pumping station on it that draws a lot of electricity. And we've identified an area in the north of the parcel there where we could add some solar and leave the remaining property available for future use. If the community expands, it could be used for other things. We will need to bring in some dirt. There's some ponds up there that need to be filled in and graded. And then the solar in that area will be a ground-mounted solar array. So it'll be low profile, not the kind that stick way up here that you can park under. Next slide. Wastewater treatment plant two represents $582,000 of energy costs. And we're targeting an area at the south side of the property there that would leave room for plant expansion to install a ground-mounted solar array there as well. There are a few other energy conservation measures we'll be looking at with respect to the HVAC and some battery energy storage. We could also include a significant amount of fencing that quote-unquote would be part of the solar project. And from my understanding, the state is requiring via your permit to fence the property. So if we can call it the fence for the solar, then we get 30% federal grant towards the fence. So it could help reduce the first cost of the fence. Next slide, please. We're also looking at the Newport Water Treatment Plant, which also has significant electrical consumption. We're going to try to figure out how to squeeze some solar onto this site with battery energy storage as well. And then this site also has some very old incandescent lighting. It takes a lot of electricity, so we'll try to upgrade the lighting there to reduce your consumption and therefore requiring a smaller solar. Phase two will also touch the community center here as well. In the phase one program that we developed, the California Energy Commission, our funding source, wouldn't allow us to add the generator to the financing of that phase one because it wasn't reducing load, electrical load. So we're going to propose to put that into the phase two here to finish off the resiliency aspect for the community center. And we've been collaborating with the architect and engineers for the new admin building to help place some EV chargers as well. We've applied for some grants on the district's behalf, and those grants are currently pending right now. Next, please. This is a phase two scope of work that we've identified. It was much longer, but we refined it with Anthony's help and the staff's help to really whittle it down to what is going to make the most impact for the district. We've conducted all of the site visits. So we've had boots on ground, looking at equipment, nameplate data, interconnection application materials. And we'll work with not only the district finance director, Margaret, but we'll also work with municipal financial advisor to come up with a number of financing options for you, some that will not affect your credit capacity. Next, please. So the budget neutrality is actually part of the program requirement in order to go into these programs. We have to be budget neutral or better over the life of the program to be California Government Code 4217 compliant. So here, this graphic shows your operating costs on the left, which are going to represent, in this case, the PG&E bill. And we're going to try to redirect those costs that you already have in your budget. Rather than just giving it to PG&E, we're going to suggest that you invest in these systems that will generate electricity locally here on site. And even with the debt service and the interest and your loan payments, those will be smaller than your monthly utility bill, generating a positive cash flow from day one. And then every time PG&E raises their rates, your savings gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what's, and this is an intriguing slide to me, I think what's important, I mean, it looks great in a bar graph situation like this, but once you guys have done dug deeper into this and have a better analysis, I think using actual numbers to us,
sure.
to the board at some point.
Yeah, no.
So because of the risk that we talked about before, which is other projects that we have in the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
all these great. Out of, in the weeds, in the pipeline. Go ahead.
All right, next slide, please. So this graph here represents if PG&E continues on the same clip of raising their rates, like mm-hmm. they're a for-profit company, so they have to at least be double inflation to make a buck and to satisfy Wall Street investors. I just don't understand how this could ever stop. They're bringing on EV cars, which increases demand. They're adding costs for undergrounding the wires, which is extremely expensive. So all of these costs are passed on to us. And this here represents that if they continue to operate or raise rates, in this case 10%, which is lower than the historical average, you will save over $39 million in avoided electric costs. Now, the solar array represents you fixing your cost by purchasing it with a low interest rate loan, and you're fixing it like a fixed mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So that cost will never go up. And then when it's paid for, you reap all the savings other than a small little bit of O&M. The O&M on solar arrays is nothing like the O&M on a wastewater treatment plant. Right? Operation and maintenance. Basically, we got to go out and do manual inspections and make sure they're clean. And
mm-hmm.
if anything breaks, we have to run out and fix it. Because we guarantee the performance.
How often do you all come out and clean them?
No, Anthony's group does not want to clean panels. So.
No.
Yeah, we have a crew that does that.
And how often?
Well, it depends. We can structure the O&M agreement to do one cleaning a year, two cleanings a year. Because we guarantee the performance, we typically oversize the systems a little bit for soiling. And
remember where they're going to be located,
yeah.
especially when you get out to plant two, right? And I mean, there's tractors running out there all the time.
Sure.
At least nearby.
Yeah,
so there's a tremendous amount. If you've parked out here enough, you know that your car's got to be washed 3 times a week, you know?
Exactly.
And when there's ever building going on and anything going, it's just amazing the amount of dirt. It's just, yeah. So anyway, I was just wondering. And I knew you did guarantee the performance, so that's...
We do.
That's important.
This is, look, I look at this slide and it's so... There's no reason to think that PG&E will stop increasing, which is your statement.
I get that. Right.
That's almost like mm-hmm. a boy cry wolf slide right there. I mean, it's hard to believe that curve could possibly occur. But there's, but 30, 40 years of history tells you it will occur.
Right, I know.
And that's
sad.
Scary.
It really is.
How do we know that, okay, so you guarantee performance. That means that you guarantee that a system that we would purchase and be installed would provide all the electricity we need.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the system is sized for, we will size the system to cover your current load, correct? And they do that.
If 2,000 homes were in, just to pick a number out of the air, 2,300 homes happen to go in somewhere near Discovery Bay, and we had to then increase the size of our plant, we would then have to
maybe add more solar.
Add more cells. So there's not future growth involved in this.
No, PG&E will not allow us to upsize. Plus, I don't think you'd want to make the payment on a solar system.
Probably not. I'm just asking the question. That's all.
But we'll design it for future expansion, and we'll keep that in mind. That 23 homes.
Well, with regards to placement and all kinds of other things, and connection, if we have to put another array in or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
We'll work with you on that to make sure that we get the developer on that as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're getting pretty good at that ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. If we should expand that plant, then that is increase in electrical use. Uses, so then they need to help us mitigate the cost.
Well, we'll show them the PG&E cost, and then we'll come in and do it with solar.
Yeah. Okay.
Good question. Next slide, please. So two funding solutions that we've identified right now are the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank, the IBANC. They offer below rate financing options for these types of infrastructure projects. And then also the Inflation Reduction Act, which can pay up to 30% of the project, just like in phase one. We're gonna help assist you guys get that grant money. And when they're paying 30%, this is what we're kind of worried about right now. The new administration is obviously trying to save costs, which is good for America. However, they're going after green energy, which is what I do. we want to make sure that we move forward with phase two to try to secure these incentives for you, because they're significant. And they make a profound difference in your return on investment. Now, even if we get this developed and approved, it probably wouldn't be built for a couple of years. So it's not something that would go in tomorrow. There's permitting, design, engineering, all that good stuff.
In the process, where does the loan doc signature fall? So you're going to do design, the engineering. When would we have to sign loan documents so that I know how to prep for any?
Sure.
Because sometimes these loan documents, they trigger reporting I have to do for the bonds that I have.
Right.
And so I just kind of need to be cognizant of
good point.
When that is.
Yeah, so if we can back up until that flow chart slide there.
Kevin.
Director Grace.
Would you open that for me? This is important. Would you open that for me?
Oh. No problem. I think I already have one open here. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with a home situation. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, so here, when we come back to the final development of the program, this is where we will, you can see here where the green is, where that is right now. And as I mentioned, Veolia is going to waive the development fee for phase two, so we can move faster. And this is where we'll start applying for the rebates and the grants and the incentives. We would like to have conversations with your municipal financial advisor. And we'll come up with a couple different options for financing. One would be a power purchase agreement where, if the district doesn't want to take on the debt, we can have a third party actually own the asset. And then the district agrees to buy that power at a discount. And then it doesn't affect your credit capacity. As I was telling Director Graves, though, when you bring in a middleman like that, they make overhead and profit on it as well. And your savings is not as compelling. And all of those tax credits we were talking about, they take them. When we get to the final program development, so when we come back, we'll have the hard numbers. We'll make sure everything looks good. Your municipal financial advisor will help guide us to what is acceptable.
And what period of time till you get to that point?
We're hopefully going to have that to you by May this year, May or June. And that would be for final program development and presentation. Contract implementation would take a little longer, so maybe third quarter of 2025. However, there probably wouldn't be any big draw in construction until permits and permissions were. So now you're into 26 and into 27. But these are different programs, and this isn't like a sunk cost. This will actually have a return on investment. So your MFA, I'll call it, Municipal Financial Advisor, will recognize that when looking at your mm-hmm. credit capacity. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just a sunk cost, mm-hmm. like, and then you got to make the loan payment. This will pay for itself. Guaranteed. Or else Veolia will be paying for it.
Yes.
All right, so if we can move back over to the... Okay, so that's the Inflation Reduction Act and all the incentives that are available. I like to put that up. That's kind of what's a little bit in jeopardy right now, or under target. I wouldn't say it's in jeopardy. Next slide. And for our monitoring, we have this upgrade system that you're getting on phase one. So we'll be connecting the new solar generation mm-hmm. equipment to the upgrade.
Okay.
And we can monitor it real time. And for example, if you lose a piece of equipment or it gets too dirty and the production's not where it's supposed to be, we'll run right out and fix it or clean it, or else we're going to be ready to check.
Okay, and now you all will be monitoring. Will we be doing any monitoring here?
You can. A lot of districts and municipalities like to have a kiosk or a flat screen to share with the community. That can either be a website mm-hmm. online, it could be a kiosk that we put here in this public area.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind show them different levels of performance. We could show them, you know, how much it's saving lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them show the sun going up and how much it's producing mm-hmm. in real time. So we're great for the kids too. If the kids ever come and they want to see it, it can be used to help teach the kids how to
have a clock running like the national debt, but have it running the other way. Money saving.
Exactly. That's a good thing.
That's exactly right. Next.
I think that's
okay. You know, remember a lot of this from the presentation before, and total fan, absolutely, it's like a no-brainer. It's just the timing, and my concern, as I mentioned to Director Graves, is looking at all we have going on and what is coming, I shouldn't say down the pipeline, that's not a very good term to use.
Picking my lines here, come on.
Oh, sorry. But there's some, you know, until we can get to that comfort level where we can make sure, we can do this and get financing for this, and that's when I would say, let's do it.
And we expressed that same concern in the Finance mm-hmm. Committee meeting, and we made sure that our opinion for the Finance Committee meeting was that they work closely together with Margaret and Dina to make sure that whatever project, that we don't jeopardize our bond abilities, because we don't know, we never know what we're going to get hit with next with the state, some unfunded mandate for something.
Really.
So we want to make sure that we don't do that. But if we're in a positive cash flow situation, it shouldn't affect that. But the guidance that was discussed at that point was make sure that you're working closely with that, because those, obviously, every board member is concerned about the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, a third board member has brought up the same point to you, because we know we're putting a burden on our mm-hmm. constituents right now with regards to mandated, things we have no option of replacing and working on, and we don't want to jeopardize any sort of ability to fund what we need to have done in the future. That's what our concern is. Now, if it's like your bar graph says, it shouldn't be a problem.
Right. We'll let the finance experts tell us.
Yeah. And then
we'll present our data.
But mm-hmm. but you know, if everything goes in a perfect world, and you go, hey, listen, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars to get started, and it's going to take 18 months to complete, and then you see a positive cash flow. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it can actually help mitigate some of your piping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I think.
Yeah.
You understand what our concerns are
as a board.
This
key.
Is yours.
I do.
I'm done with that. That's yours now.
Okay, I have a question though, unrelated though, so I will take this. So for quite some time, CSDs weren't available. We couldn't get grants, not just because we're Discovery Bay, but grants, CSDs just weren't able to. And then there was some legislation that went through the House and then went to the Senate. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? To allow CSDs to be able to get the grants for whatever reason, including the infrastructure reduction, supposedly, act. And there it sits. So
there were different blocks of funding. And I believe some of the funding that came out through the IRA was only designated for cities.
Cities and towns, yeah. But we
so that's, I think we're kind of, you're talking a little bit of apples and oranges here, because the grant we're talking about getting doesn't matter whether you're a CSD, doesn't matter if you're a town. It's a matter of are you
okay.
Using
oh, that's good. No,
energy
I just wanted to check.
For this.
But
okay. A good point is that there may be a point when other grants will be available to us if that legislation, and the CSDA is working on that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, they are. And then my next question was, have you heard of any grants for infrastructure, for water pipelines, let's just say?
I haven't, but I know Veolia may be in tune with that, and I can go back and double check for
Boy,
it.
Boy, yeah, I mean, that would
I
be...
I would have thought that Anthony might have looked into that at some point.
Uh-oh, he's coming up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There are a lot of them do have to do with credit because of the very, very good credit the town has. Sometimes we are blocked from that. However, we have found what we think are anything that could be a tied to lead from LSLI. We just did anything tied to lead, anything tied to PFAS, anything tied to things like that. They are slowly but surely coming up with ways to do that, grant funding and things. Currently, we don't classify under any of those right now.
Right.
However, we do have a capital team, which is another division, working on that very thing, working on putting eyes on asbestos cement piping across the town, things like that, to see if, what we could get hold of.
As a reminder, we have Lou Orford School and Eni with a grant program.
Yeah,
they're looking for stuff for us all the time,
well,
too.
We just haven't really...
Our median income doesn't help us any.
Right. No, I know. But when they start looking at infrastructure, sometimes it changes. So, yeah, whatever you all hear and whatever we can do, that would be good.
Right on.
All right. Anything else for John?
No, all good.
Okay. I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
And I